Do you regularly eat bread for breakfast? Do you eat sourdough for breakfast? How do you describe sourdough? It's crispy on the outside and chewy in the inside. Tangy flavor, a little bit of sour taste, as just as its name suggested. Seems like someone is watching those vlogs, going for description for what they eat. According to experts, sourdough has better health benefits than the regular commercial bread. It's easier for the body to digest and absorb. What else? Does sourdough use commercial yeast or leaven? Yeast or leaven can ferment, rise, expand, and make the dough puff up. A little yeast of leaven or yeast can double the size of the dough. It can expand the volume of the dough. Interestingly, Christ has compared the similarity of the kingdom of heaven in yeast or leaven. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, let's read. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. The term kingdom, it pertains to kingship, it pertains to authority, authority to rule. When the Lord, when we pray, the Lord's Your kingdom come, we say. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we trying to say? We are asking our Heavenly Father to reign. When we say, your kingdom come, you reign, you rule in heaven and on earth. Christ said that the kingdom of heaven is like yeast mixed in the dough. Do you interpret that? We won't be the same anymore when the authority of heaven rules in us. Our life will be changed when the authority of heaven reigns in us. And who is the authority of heaven? Let's reflect on what Christ declared in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The authority of heaven is who? Jesus Christ is the authority, has the authority in heaven and on earth. When he reigns in our hearts, when he rules our hearts, our life will be forever be changed. Now you might be If you are thinking like that, like, what's happening to me if my life hasn't been changed? Perhaps you need to reflect, did I ask Christ to reign in my heart? Did I ask the Lord to reign in my life? Christ has compared yeast to the kingdom of heaven to remind us that just as yeast would double or change the size, the volume of yeast, when he reigns, the authority of heaven, Jesus Christ, when he reigns, when he rules in our hearts, our life will be changed, not just on earth, it will be changed forever. Additionally, Christ has also has compared to Pharisaical behavior of hypocrisy, yeast. He compared yeast to the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Hypocrisy, like yeast, can affect anyone's behavior. Christ warned us in Luke chapter 12, verse 1, 2, 3. Let's read. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. The pharisaical yeast of hypocrisy, pharisaical behavior can influence anyone. And the church of Corinth was victimized, was influenced by the pharisaical hypocrisy. Previously, Apostle Paul wrote his rebuke to the arrogant leaders of the Corinthian church. He informed them that if it is the will of God, he will be visiting them. And to find out what these arrogant leaders were talking about, like yeast to the dough, their boasting can influence others to be arrogant. Let's read again verse 6 of our passage. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? The term boasting can be positive and negative. It's positive in its exaltation or glorification, and negative with having proud or proud confidence. When boasting is focused on Jesus Christ, that is called exaltation and glorification, and that is good, that's positive. But when boasting is focused on the self, it's having proud confidence. It is not good. And sometimes we tend to be like that. Boast on our attainments, or anything that we do. I remember somebody, an engineer, was praising his foreman. He's really good in masonry. Said, "Oh, you're really good," and he answered in Tagalog. It says, "Ako pa." How do you say that in How do you say that in English? Me also. I cannot translate it correctly, but it's kind like of boasting that, yeah, I am really good. But sometimes we tend to have that. I don't know, but it's instinctive for anyone to be appreciated and love to be appreciated. So Apostle Paul said that the boasting of the Corinthian church is not good. Not good because it can influence other members to be arrogant also. The church of Corinth had quarrel, they had faction, they had division, and they were divided because some of the leaders tolerated a wicked man among them, immoral man among them. And Apostle Paul decreed that the accused man must be excluded from their assembly. And explained that as yeast ferments, as yeast leavens a batch of dough, the accused man can easily influence others to follow his undesirable behavior, his immoral acts that even pagans cannot tolerate. Together, let's sincerely reflect on what commands us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. when we allow our instinct, sinful instinct, to reign in us, that is called idolatry. Lately, it was reported, I don't know if you have read this, somewhere outside the border, the mayor of a particular town served also as the pastor of a local church. And according to the published article, he declared, "What I do in private life has nothing to do with what I do in my holy life." Why? His behavior in private contradicted what he preached or how he behaved in public. He can keep his private activities, but recklessly he posted on social media, his social media account, his private secret. And someone uncovered and discovered his double personality. You can search more about that. Pastor Mayor exposed in the internet, and you will read more about the details. This is pharisaical hypocrisy of preachers, which is tragic. It's tragic reality in Christianity. What should we do when preachers behave differently and do not practice what they preach? Christ warned us in Matthew 23, verse 2 and 3. Let's read. "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach." Christ did not say, disobey them. He did not say that. Instead, be careful to do what they teach you, what they tell you. Be careful, but do not follow what they practice. Be careful what you follow. It helps to have great knowledge of the Word of God, so that instead of just being dependent on preachers, you know if you need to follow what had been preached. Of course, we respect teachers of God's Word, but our loyalty must be given to Christ alone. What has caused the quarrel? What has caused the faction and division in the church of Corinth? Was it because they declared loyalty to their preferred leaders? They cannot decide what to do with a sinful man, an immoral man. They did not know that his behavior was disgusting. They did not consider that his behavior, wicked behavior, is disgusting. And maybe because they were just dependent on their leaders and not reading the Word of God. And Apostle Paul decreed, exclude the guilty person from your assembly. He compared it of getting rid of the old yeast, remove the old yeast when baking unleavened bread. When you bake unleavened bread, don't include the yeast, old yeast. Let's read again verse 7 of our passage. "Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." To effectively use leaven or yeast, you need to add sugar. Accordingly, sugar, it energizes, it revives the bacteria. Sugar is food for the bacteria in the yeast, and they become active. And you may remember children when they eat sugary candies, they become active, right? And that's how the bacteria, that's how the sugar does to the bacteria in the yeast. And it caused the dough to puff up, it caused the dough to rise, to double. But many health experts, they warn that sugar can be harmful to health. This is why many of you are drinking coffee without sugar. In comparison, bread without yeast, bread that does not use leaven, does not require sugar. Therefore, unleavened bread can be more beneficial to health, physical health, than bread that has yeast and sugar. If you prefer to eat bread with yeast and sugar, I do. Unleavened bread may not be very appealing to the taste at first. It's not. Maybe you say, this is bland. You may find it like that if it's your first time to eat unleavened bread, like sourdough, something like that. But if you were health conscious, you would prefer to eat unleavened bread rather than bread that has yeast or sugar. How is Christian life compared to unleavened bread? Initially, Christian life may not be instantly appealing to potential believers. Remember when somebody was inviting you to come to church and you look at Christians like, the life of Christian is like very bland. There's no excitement in it. Going to church, going home, no extracurricular activities. Those were the kind of life of Christians that we observe, but not necessarily all give the right description of Christianity. And that was also how I observed before, life of Christianity. But when they try, life in Christ, the life of Christian, they also crave for the old lifestyle. Remember, when you are new Christian, you still want to join your peers in their activities not acceptable to the Lord. By God's grace, we can discover the practical and spiritual benefits of living by faith in Christ. And you observe that even your physical health. If in your old life you have many vices before, and then you become Christian and those bad vices, you discard them, the Lord remove it from you, you sense like your physical health had improved. And that is also one physical practical benefits of being Christian. And certainly you would appreciate it until forever. Forever, in eternity, you would really be thankful that you come to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Apostle Paul instructed to get rid of the old yeast to be new unleavened batch. How can we realize that? How can we become unleavened batch? Christ, the Passover lamb, was sacrificed. The Lord took our sins, crucified them with Christ on the cross. Christ himself died for the forgiveness of our sins. His blood was shed on the cross. The blood of Christ washed away our sins. And by faith, we believe that mysterious process of God for everyone who believed to be saved. By faith, he made a new batch of unleavened bread among us. It is the Lord who get rid of the old yeast also, the old life, old behavior. Together, let us meditatively reflect on Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. He will disappear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Have you ever wondered why it says Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many? Why is it that it did not say the sin of all people? When we believe, for Christ so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God loves all he created. God loves all people. He loved us. But Christ died and offered his sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. It is for everyone who believed to take that forgiveness. This is why he will only take away the sin of many who believe. Not all people. But it says in the Bible, it says, the Lord took away all our sins. Yes, our sin. He took it. But we need to believe that mysterious process of God. Unless we believe it, that sacrifice of Christ is useless to those who do not believe. Reflect on that sacrificial death of Christ as requirement of the Lord for the forgiveness of sin. How can we prove that we believe it? How can we prove that we have faith in that mysterious process of God? How do we know? Personally, practically. We practically prove our faith in Christ when we repent of our sins. When we accept that we need him as Lord and Savior. And not just say, I accept you as Lord and Savior, but Lord, let the old life in me continue. That is not possible. We turn away from sin and we want to follow Christ. As believers, we use the scripture, whatever is taught in the scripture, as guiding principle. The scripture was written for us to know which path we should take, which for us to know the activities that the Lord would accept that is pleasant to him and which behavior is not acceptable to God. We use it as our guiding principle. And when we do that, we also store up eternal treasures in heaven for ourselves. Now, many of you may have been thinking about retirement. When you hear about retirement, you reflect and consider how you may spend time in retirement. When I retire, what would I do? Will I wake up in the morning as before at 6, at 5 in the morning and do regular activities? What would I do? How do retirees spend time during retirement? How about you? Maybe you imagine exciting activities you may experience when it's time for you to retire. What will you do? Well, you can watch online videos of retirees. What do they do in their retirement life? They go traveling from places to places. Maybe you consider that, but reflect on it. How long will you travel? As long as finances would allow. But you need to be practical also and check how much finances you have for you to sustain your travels. It's good to see beautiful places, but if you have limited resources, here's a reality. Christ instructed us to store up eternal treasure for ourselves. It did not say before you retire. It says store up for yourselves eternal treasures. It includes before retirement and after retirement. All our lives should be spent in it, in storing up eternal treasure. Every activity that we do, we should. Even at work, in school, at grocery store, How can we spend? But at retirement, you may still spend retirement benefits and luxury, leisure, pleasure. Listen, pray for an opportunity to join short-term mission or full-time mission. Why? In short-term mission, you can visit different places, new places, or you experience life in other places. At the same time, you can store up eternal treasures for yourselves. You can participate in the spread of the gospel. I learned from a missionary that if you come from Canada and spend a short term, about 2 weeks to a month, if you join them, you may spend from $3,000 to $4,000. And that's mostly what they require you to pay when you travel for 2 weeks and 3 weeks somewhere else, $4,000. But I know of a cheaper way of spending lesser when you go to mission. If you want that, you may approach me and I'll tell you how you may spend time and in mission and not spend much money. How about this? When you go home, try to search online. Summer English teaching. You teach for 2 months in summer, and they will pay you to pay for your travel, pay for your accommodation, and give you also salary. Not that much, but at least if you think about it, you have been there for 2 months and free, and you still have money going back. And that happens in Asia, East Asia, wherever in Asia. You want to go to Japan, Korea, China, Thailand. I don't know much about Singapore. Oh, no. Malaysia or Indonesia, I don't know much about that. But in those areas, you can. Or Taiwan. Be intentional. You want to travel? I would like to do that. Sometimes I think about, like, if I retire, if ever I retire, I'm not thinking about retirement, but I'm just trying to think about how others may live their life in retirement. I would live in a camper van in the Philippines, bring with me materials in evangelism, and go from churches, contacting pastors, and go and train evangelism explosion, for example, for 2 weeks. And then after that, transfer to another church and help again train. You have accommodation, even if you would pay your lodging. But at least you are spreading the word of God, spending your time in earning your treasure. Think about that. Not just going there for luxuries. It's good from time to time, but if you do that all your retirement life, that would be very boring. Why? How many countries are there in the world now? 102. How many countries would give Canadians free visa? Say more or less 130, 120, you can have free visa going there. 120. And many times you go to one country, but you don't like to go to all of those countries, right? Think about that. Spending your time just for traveling there instead of praying for opportunity that you may participate in the ministry, in missions. Think about that. Don't just think about like having life of relaxation. That is not life. And you know, many people who are living in relaxation, they do not live long. If you want that kind of life, you miss the opportunity to earn your eternal treasure. Let's read again verse Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put off the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The old self craves for pleasure. The old self craves for relaxation. That's the old self. Always remember that we are heaven bound. Your life on earth, you may live in luxury, but that would not be the case in heaven. The Lord Jesus reminds us, store up treasures for yourselves. That is a command. Why did he command that? Because your treasures would, I don't know, I was thinking that it would give you that privilege better than no treasures at all. Just like having no treasures on earth, you have less privilege. You want to travel? I cannot travel because I don't have finances. Kind like that. Similarly, in heaven, the more you store up treasures, the better privilege you will have. Retirees or not yet, pray that the Lord completely get rid of the old yeast of sinful behavior so that you may be a new batch of unleavened bread in true righteousness and holiness. Let's read again verse 8 of our passage. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. When the old sinful nature dictates our behavior, there's this malice, wickedness present. We cannot do away with that. If we allow our old sinful nature dictates our behavior, our lifestyle, malice, wickedness contaminated the church in Corinth. Why? Because they tolerated that immoral behavior of influential men, that behavior that even pagans cannot accept. Regardless, Paul encouraged them to celebrate the Passover festival with sincerity and truth. New life in Christ, behave in sincerity and truth. The Holy Spirit of truth inspires us to be sincere, to be true to the Lord. How can we be true to the Lord? We can accept, Lord, this is tough for me. I want to store up treasures in heaven, but I don't know what to do. Keep praying, keep praying. He will give you that idea. Which practical step you should take. Meaning, when we prioritize the Lord, He enables us to earn or store up eternal treasure. We also gather. You want to gather regularly, encourage one another to celebrate our freedom from our old self. By faith, our old self was buried with Christ, and we resurrected to new life in Him. Together, let's personally reflect on Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Reflect now. You've been baptized in water baptism. Water baptism is our public testimony. We want the public to know that we believe in the death and resurrection of Christ. During water baptism, baptismal candidates are immersed into the water. It symbolizes that the old life has been buried with Christ. Yet when they get out of the water, it symbolizes their resurrection to new life in Christ. That's the symbol of water baptism. Immersion into the water, we are saying we are dead. We participate in the death of Christ. When we are get out of the water, we participate to the resurrection of Christ, to a new life in Christ. Our personal reflection now, am I behaving in unleavened bread of sincerity and truth? Have I resurrected with Christ to new life in Christ? How do you compare anyone who works harder? When the boss is around, do you normally do that? When the boss is around, you work harder, you become more active at work. But when nobody is watching, you want to slack, to be lazy, do nothing. Maybe that kind of attitude, they have the mindset of a mouse. What? Yes, mindset of a mouse. You know the saying? You heard it said? When the cat is away, the cat is away. The mouse will play. Someone said, integrity is doing the right thing when no one is watching. Do you have integrity? You do things when no one is watching. You do the right thing when no one is watching. Mostly those who do something when no one is watching, they also do better things in life, actually. Another one added, integrity gives you that real freedom because you have nothing to fear when you have nothing to hide. Do you normally sense it? When you are driving and then you see a police car parked on the side of the road, what do you normally do? You need to be alert immediately. Right? Do you sense that? But if you were driving at good speed, you may smile. And thank God, actually, that you see that police car. Why? That police car may warn those reckless drivers to be reckless. You do not want to be involved in an accident. You drive carefully, yes, but there are those reckless drivers who may just drive, and that's not very good. That's not very appreciated. Here's a fictional story. I don't know if you have watched this. There was this blind woman. She asked her lawyer, "Will you find my long-lost brother?" And a man claimed, "I am the long-lost brother." He appeared. And then was introduced to the blind woman, but he told the blind woman, "I will not be here for long." "Why?" "I will be going abroad." "Why? Where do you go? Where do you go?" "I will go to Italy." "What do you do in Italy?" "I will start a restaurant there." "Why?" "Because I am a very good cook." "Really? Can you prepare food for me?" "Yes, sure." And what the supposed to be brother did, started preparing the food, and then the blind woman listened very carefully how the man cut vegetables, onion, and like, and then she said, "That's not the way expert cooks use knife." And the man stopped. "Okay, let's just order food out somewhere." Actually, she cannot really identify the sound of how expert cooks use knife. She doesn't know. She just wants to check if the man was honest or pretending to be an expert cook. And truly, expert cook knows how to use a knife with grace, graceful. They are so graceful when they use knife. You know it when you watch vlogs about cooking. You know it when they are trying to use knife, pretending to be cook. Just when they cut that onion or something, you will know that if they use the knife properly, they are really good cook. Or if they are just following another blog out there trying to present to you that they are good cooks. So, she suspected that the man was a pretender, that a fraud, he is a fraud. Eventually, her lawyer confirmed that her suspicion was real. Did you know anyone who behaved well, trying to behave like Christian when the pastor is around? Do you know anyone who suddenly, pastor's there, suddenly keeps quiet, changes topic when the pastor passed by? Sometimes I don't like to approach anybody or really serious in their conversation, because I observed it in the past. I observed many times in the past, not just here, even somewhere. And when I pass by, when I join their conversation, their topic changes. Even when I heard it from a distance. Well, someone said that honesty is the only policy. Honesty is the only policy, not the best policy, the only policy. Most often, humans is not honest naturally. But when Christ transforms us, we can be honest. We behave honestly in what we do. That's how we prove that Christ is working in our life, when we become honest. Reflect on Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to 25. Let's read this together. In everything, do it not only when their eyes is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there's no favoritism. This is a really good biblical principle, because at work, when you do what is best, the Lord will do something. He will let your boss catch you doing very good, and that may cause you to for your promotion or maybe increase in your salary. Or if, for example, your boss is not very good to you, the Lord would open right doors for you to go and use that behavior with integrity. Well, anywhere we go, there is trouble. But in Christ, we can have peace. Peace of Christ fills our heart when we allow Him to reign, to rule in our heart. His Holy Spirit produces peace in us. He transforms us to have reverence for Him and do the right thing. To have that integrity. We just don't try to push ourselves, trying to do this and do that, trying to figure out how we can have that behavior of integrity. It's the Lord who enables us. But that desire is a good start. Reverence for Christ is practically exemplified when we obey Him. obedience to Him, help us to have that integrity. By the way, how strong is your confidence when Christ returns and takes us into heaven today? How strong? Do you eagerly wait for the second advent of Christ, our Lord? Do you? When we hear Christmas carols, are you playing Christmas carols at home in your car? I do. It reminds us of Advent season. The Advent season, the celebration of the Advent season, we celebrate the birth, the coming of Christ in flesh, in human baby. And we eagerly wait for His second advent, His return. Do you eagerly wait for Christ's advent? Then ask the Lord, Lord, help me behave with sincerity and truth. Keep filling me with your Holy Spirit. Increase my faith. Increase my faith. Let's stand up as we reflect on the birth of Christ and His coming again for the second time to bring us into heaven.